7.
Good morning and welcome to Shattering Myths. I am Yada. Each weekday morning here on GCN, we strive to expose the destructive and deadly myths associated with religion and politics, with patriotism and the media, with military and economic schemes. Instead of merely presenting the news, our mission on this program is to help you understand what is actually occurring while predicting how these events will shape our world over the next 10, 15, and 20 years. Then during our second hour, we engage God on His terms by way of His one and only covenant and through His always dependable Torah teaching, so that with His guidance you'll be able to replace your religion with reason and engage in a relationship with Him. Today's program may be devoted entirely to the most occultic religion ever conceived by man, Islam. Well, it was true. They were Muslims. It was obvious, of course. The kind of bomb that was deployed, the location of the bomb's deployment, matched those kinds of bombs designed by and popularized by Muslims. The same kind of bombs that are used to kill women and children in Afghanistan and in Iraq with reckless abandon. Same kind of bombs that are deployed in Pakistan to kill civilians, particularly women and children. It was obvious that they were Muslims. 99.9% of terrorist acts that are perpetrated in a manner similar to what we witnessed in Boston are perpetrated by fundamentalist Muslims. That doesn't mean that every terrorist worldwide and every terrorist act is Islamic. There's some that are not. But when a crude bomb with nails and pellets packed inside of a pressure cooker, manufactured in the standard that is promoted not only by Hamas on hundreds of videos as well as internet-based instructive sites, when it's done exactly as the bomb that is presented on the Fundamentalist Islamic Inspire magazine site online, when the bomb is placed indiscriminately on a sidewalk where innocent civilians will be that have no direct interaction with the perpetrator, when those events are put together, Muslims. When we learned that the killers stood around to gloat at the carnage, blowing a little six-year-old girl's legs off, murdering an eight-year-old boy. When they stay around to gloat at what they've done, proud of what they've done, convinced what they have done it was a good thing on behalf of their God, they're Muslims. Was obvious. And yet, almost ubiquitously, the media would scream, no, this is tax day, so it could not have been international terrorism. They wouldn't even call Islamic terrorism Islamic terrorism. It had to be called international terrorism. They wouldn't even consider that that was a possibility. No, all of their expert opinions were domestic. This is a right-wing extremist. They weren't right-wing extremists. They were Muslims. Let me read some of the articles that have been presented. I certainly can't quote CNN that is providing the live coverage because the woman who was the expert on CNN would have you believe and told everyone repeatedly that you would be wrong if you were to make a connection between Islam and terrorism. The possibility that these boys were Muslim is unrelated. The fact that they immigrated from Chechnya is just a matter of geography. And then those who at least were willing to admit, okay, Islam was the problem, they spoke of them being radicalized. They were not radicalized. They were fundamentalist. You cannot be a good Muslim and not be a terrorist. It's impossible. Let's cover some of the reporting. This first is, I believe, from the New York Times. The brothers behind Monday's deadly bombing at the Boston Marathon are believed to have come from the to the U.S. from Chechnya as long as a decade ago, but apparently never fit in with American culture. I listened to an interview of the boy's uncle. He said that they immigrated from Turkestan, not Chechnya, although there's other indication that it was Chechnya. I'm not claiming one way or the other. I'm just telling you that there's mixed reports, whether it was Turkestan or Chechnya. The uncle said that he came to the United States 10 years ago and that they followed him followed 2 years after. And that, therefore, they had been there for 7 years. I know that math is not spectacular, but, you know, we are talking about an American culture here where math may not be our strong suit. So they were here, let's say, 7 years, perhaps 8 years. They were not here a decade. They were from either Turkestan or from Chechnya, but since one boy was in his mid-20s, 26 years old. The other was 19 years old. If they have been here for 7 or 8 years, the youngest, who is still alive, would have had almost no memory of his former homeland, having left there at 11 or 12 years old. The article continues. This is now a quote. I don't have a single American friend. This is from one of the boys. This is from Tamerlan Sarniev. Tamerlan is kind of an interesting name. He is the older of the two, 26-year-old. Tamerlane is a, and this is a awfully close to Tamerlane. It's Tamerlan. Tamerlane is a real interesting character. If you study the history of the Mongols, Genghis Khan, of course, was the first Mongol who realized that he could become enriched and powerful if he trained raiders, barbarians, to be able to assault communities effectively and rob them. And the economy of the Mongols became armed robbery. And they did not rob communities within their immediate surrounding. They robbed distant communities, and they would rob entire countries. And they became so ruthless that they were able to negotiate deals with communities where they would go up, sip an emissary and say, you've got a choice. You either give us certain percentage of your wealth, or we will steal everything and we will kill everybody. That's your choice. So Genghis Khan started this kind of raiding. It's something that Muhammad would later follow. Actually, Muhammad, I think, was even prior to Genghis Khan. If not, they were coterminous. Muhammad 500 to 600 CE. Don't know exactly the years of Genghis Khan. Kublai Khan was his son. Carried on the family business of being an armed robber. But Tamerlane was kind of an interesting variation of this. Tamerlane recognized that if he could mix religion and robbery, that he would be a much more effective thief, much more powerful, much richer. And so Tamerlane was the first to mix the Mongol raiding strategy with Islam. And he became the most savage barbarian in human history by combining those two things. And I think if you take history down a down the path, what you find is that Islam was unable to conquer the Byzantine Empire until such time as Islam had permeated the Mongolian mindset, and the Mongols began to attack the Byzantines, and they were ruthless. The combination of the Mongol fighting strategy and the Islamic religion was something the Byzantines could not defend themselves against, and what became the Ottoman Empire was Islamic Mongols having conquered the Byzantine Christianity. And so that name is insightful from that point of view. He was named after the most savage Muslim who ever lived. I mean, a Muslim who was more savage even than Muhammad, the founder of the religion. Anyway, Tamerlane Shanarev was killed in the shootout with police hours after the pair was identified as suspects. As I understand it, what happened last night is that these Muslim boys robbed a 7-Eleven. Then after robbing the 7-Eleven, they went and killed a campus police officer at MIT. And then from there, they went and stole a car, carjacked a car with the driver in it. And then they dropped the driver of the car off at a gas station after threatening to kill him. And while they admitted that they were the Marathon bombers, and then there was a car chase that ensued, and no one seems to know how Tamerlane died in that car chase. Hi, Scott.
In all of this, I just have one thing that I'm really... It always confuses me in things like this. Everybody is so quick to in things like this, to blame a gun or to blame, you know, anything else, except when it comes to one thing. Islam. They never want to blame any of that. It's never something... I've never heard, oh, he's a radical Jew, or, oh, he's an extremist Christian. I've never heard these terms.
Yes, he's a radical Christian. What would that even mean?
I don't know.
He was radicalized in the Christian religion. What would that even mean? He was radicalized as a Buddhist. What would that mean? He was radicalized as an Orthodox Jew. What would that mean, that he would wear his black hat one size larger and the curly Q that came down the side of his cheek would be tied in an even tighter curl? What would that mean? Would the sizzet on his side have a darker color thread? You're right. Why is it that they have to distort Islam in the media and nothing else? The story of the bombers who created such murderous mayhem in Boston, they indeed turned out to be Muslim, which was obvious from the beginning, something that the media, something that politicians, something that law officials all wanted to deny. They turned out to be Muslim. This was not even something that can be blamed on international terrorism, because while they did immigrate from Chechnya, that was 8 years ago. So they were not controlled or sent here by an international Islamic organization. It can't be blamed on domestic terrorism in terms of a right-wing extremist, because they did not fit into America. They were they remained Muslim. It can't even be blamed on a Islamic organization. You know, the desire to disassociate Islamic terrorism from Islam by calling it Al-Qaeda. They were not members that anyone knows at this point of any fundamentalist Islamic terrorist organization. They were just fundamentalist Muslims. This is what was reported in the nation's leading newspapers. This question is just amazing. The statement is amazing. What drove these two boys, 19 and 26, who lived in Cambridge, Massachusetts, to perpetrate the deadly attack, which has killed three and injured 176 is not clear. The next statement is, they are believed to be Muslims and to have had military training overseas. What drove them to kill is not clear. They are believed to be Muslims. It is as if we have an entire world that's decided when it comes to the religion of Islam, we won't make any connections. We won't recognize the fact that since the late 1960s, that 90+% of terrorist acts have been perpetrated by Muslims. And if you look at the last 10 years, it gets to 99% of terrorist acts are perpetrated by Muslims. And yet we won't connect terrorism with Islam. How could you have that high a correlation and not to do that? How is it that people could say, we don't know what drove he and his brother to kill, when Islam is responsible for 99% of the world's terrorist acts, including the worst terrorist act in American history on 9/11, and not even bother to read the Quran and Hadith of Islam, which we will do as this program continues, to prove that Islam is a terrorist religion. That it is a war against all humankind. That you are not radicalized to become a terrorist in Islam. You are a fundamentalist as a terrorist. Bottom line is, it is impossible, according to the Quran, to be a good Muslim and not be a terrorist. And that means that there are a lot of Muslims out there who are not terrorists, but they're not good Muslims. All good Muslims are terrorists. Islam makes them that way. That's what the Quran says. That's what the Hadith says. It's not my opinion. That is what the Quran says. Allah, who is a wannabe God of Islam, orders Muslims to be terrorists. And he says if they're not willing to be a jihadist, then he wants jihadist Muslims to kill them so that he can kill and torture the peaceful Muslim. They are believed to be Muslims. Tamerlan fled Chechnya with his family because of the conflict in the early 90s and lived there for years in Kazakhstan before getting to the United States as a refugee, read the caption. So he would have left Chechnya around 13 years old and then have lived in Kazakhstan for about 3 years prior to immigrating to the United States and living here for 8 years. And by the way, he didn't move with his whole family. His father is still in Chechnya. Tamerlan previously studied at Bunker Hill Community College in hopes of becoming an engineer. He took off a semester from his studies to practice boxing. His brother is believed to be the same Dejovkar Sharnarev, who won a $2,500 scholarship in 2011 from the city of Cambridge. Maybe the city of Cambridge should reconsider their criterion for awarding scholarships. Here is a community known for Harvard, known for MIT, and they're giving scholarships, $2,500, to those who think that it is a good idea to plant bombs which maim little children and murder individuals indiscriminately. Perhaps they ought to rethink and recalibrate what they view as important. We will continue with this story about these boys whose only motivation was Islam, and we will consider why it is that Islam motivated them to perpetrate such a heinous act. Motivation for the Boston Marathon bombers. They were Muslims. They were born evidently in Chechnya. They immigrated to the United States about 7 or 8 years ago. The father of boys, one now dead, the other on the run, was called just outside of Chechnya. He is in Makhachkala, which is the capital of the Dagestan region near Chechnya. Chechnya is not an independent country, nor is the Dagestan region. They're part of Russia. They both border on Georgia, which is important. The Republic of Georgia is an area that is, that in eastern Turkey, is associated with Gog, who will be the leader of the Magog Federation, the all-Islamic confederation that will attack Israel starting World War III, right after a peace treaty is reached between Israel and the rest of the world, according to Yah's prophecies. And so Georgia and eastern Turkey are, particularly Georgia's coterminous with this region. The Caucasian region will be a considerable component of the Magog war against Israel. The father was reached on a capital town of this region, right on the Caspian Sea. This region is between the Black and the Caspian Sea and the Caucasus Mountains. And according to the Associated Press, he said that his son, the youngest son, the 19-year-old, Jokishar, was smart and he was accomplished. He said, "My son is a true angel." He said he is a second-year medical student in the U.S., and he is such an intelligent boy. By the way, you can't go to medical school until you first graduate from 4 years in college and then have to be accepted into medical school. So I do not think he was a medical student. He is such an intelligent boy. We expected him to come back here on holidays. Well, he's either about to be dead or locked up in the maximum security prison in Colorado for a very long time. An uncle of the brothers, also reached by the Associated Press, I did see that interview, said that they had been estranged because of infighting in the family. He had not heard from the boys in 2 years, but they did call him yesterday, and that they had been here for 7 or 8 years. In another story, it says officials said that the two men had lived in Chechnya, a long-disputed, predominantly Muslim territory in southern Russia that sought independence after the collapse of the Soviet Union, and they fought two bloody wars with the authorities in Moscow. They really didn't fight wars with Moscow. They terrorized Russia. It's kind of an interesting story as to what happened that ultimately took the Islamic terrorism that was being perpetrated on Russia by the Chechnyans, Muslims, down to a low simmer. There was a period of time where Russia was the epicenter of Islamic terrorism in the world. The Russians, between hospital bombings, school bombings, theater bombings, was suffering under the assault of Islamic terrorism worse than any country in the world, far worse than the United States. And the Russians came up with a means to quiet it down. Putin negotiated a deal with the devil. He went to Iran and said, it's obvious that you have been sponsoring this. You're providing the munitions, the bombs, and the training for these Muslims to attack us. What do we need to do to get you to back off? And that was the ultimate deal with the devil that now has Russia backing Syria and backing Iran. It is the deal the deal that was cut is to allow the Iranians and support the Iranians to complete its nuclear ambitions without any interference from the world, which is happening, and that Russia would back Iran and therefore Syria in any ongoing conflict, which is exactly what's happening. And then what the Iranians got for it, in addition to that, and part of the agreement was to make certain that the Caspian Sea natural gas and oil reserves, that the pipelines would be split between Russia and China. And so China joined in this agreement. and has also been a beneficiary in lockstep with Iran and therefore with Syria. And it ultimately influenced this region because Russia has to control Chechnya and the southern region here along the Caspian Sea for the pipeline purposes, for the oil and gas reserves. And that is why Russia invaded Georgia to deprive the Georgian Republic of its independence. So there is quite a backstory that will play out prominently in the world in this region over the next 10 to 15 years. The consequence of Islam in this region is going to be vastly more significant than three people dead and 170 some odd wounded. The predictions of this war have it ultimately going nuclear after Muslims fail in their united conquest of Israel. Billions of people are going to die. So the this man, who the story is that they came from Chechnya and they ultimately immigrated to the United States, according to a U.S. school administrator, the secretary of, to the director of what's called school number one, said that the Tsarnaev family left Dagestan for the United States in 2002 after living there for about a year. She said the family, the parents, the two boys and two girls had lived in the Central Asian nation of Kyrgyzstan previously. So we have a presence all over what we would call the stands. There's Azerbaijan, the Georgian Republic, Armenia, and then as you go further south in this region, there and throughout it. In fact, on the other side of the Caspian Sea, you have Turkmenistan. Turkmenistan has a border with Afghanistan, Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, and Kyrgyzstan, which would then border China, with Tajikistan bordering northern Afghanistan. So you know what the region looks like. You know what Islam has done to it. Both brothers have substantial presence on social media sites. The younger brother, the one that is on the run, the one that was the most proud of what he was doing, the one that set the bomb that blew off the six-year-old girl's legs and that killed the eight-year-old boy, the one that couldn't get enough of the carnage that he had perpetrated, and you could see his face gloating over what he had done. The younger brother describes his worldview on his social media sites as Islam. Islam. He cites a verse from the Quran, "Do good because Allah loves those who do good." Now, of course, what a Westerner does not know is that good and bad are inversed in Islam. Doing good is killing. Doing good is jihad. Doing good is lying. Doing good is stealing. Doing good is kidnapping. Doing good is raping. All the things that we view as good, the Quran views as bad. Peaceful existence, for example, is bad. Freedom of choice is bad. But in Islam, doing good means that you're going to be a terrorist, because Allah loves those who do good, terrorist killings. The older brother left a record on YouTube of his favorite clips, which included Russian rap videos as well as testimonials from a young ethnic Russian, a young Russian man, entitled "How I Accepted Islam and Became a Shiite." He also featured a clip entitled "Seven Steps to Successful Islamic Prayer." Alvi Kamarov, a spokesperson for Ramzan Kadyrov, leader of Chechnya, said that the Tsarnaev brothers did not live in Chechnya for many years. He told the Interfax News Service that according to preliminary information, the family moved to a different region of the Russian Federation from Chechnya many years ago. Then the family lived for a long time in Kazakhstan. And from there, they moved to the United States, where members of the family received residency permits. The reason that that is all interesting is because it isn't relevant. It is interesting because of the role the Caucasus region is going to play, ultimately, in World War III. And I mind you that Yahweh has made many thousands of prophecies. He's never gotten one wrong. And many of the prophecies that he has made look impossible until they actually materialized. To think that Muslims from the Chechenian region, which was under the domination of the Soviet Union, where religion was illegal, were going to play a significant role in a coordinated all-Islamic attack against Israel would have been impossible to even fathom 15 or 20 years ago. And now it looks inevitable. And so it is interesting from that point of view, but this is not an international act of terrorism. These boys lived in the United States for the last 7 or 8 years. This is the reason, their motivation for their killing is Islam. Full stop. Their life view is Islamic. It's interesting they are Shia Muslims because the story of the Mahdi, which is Gog in Shia Islam, is about the 12th Imam, and it is a part and parcel of Shia Islam and not of Sunni Islam. Continuing with the stories, this is what we learned last night. The pursuit of the boys began at about 10 p.m. Thursday when the two boys robbed a 7-Eleven near the Central Square in Cambridge. The security camera caught a man identified as one of the suspects wearing a gray hoodie. From the bombing, they became robbers, and from the robbers, they became murderers. They went to MIT and assaulted a campus security officer, killing him. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We're covering the what happened here last night and again this morning relative to the Muslim boys that were the terrorists associated with the Boston Marathon bombing. After deploying those bombs, doing so thinking that they were doing a great service to their God, Allah, the boys last night decided that that since the Quran authorizes stealing, it says that stealing is lawful and good, to begin the eighth surah of the Quran, they went into a 7-Eleven near the central square of Cambridge and robbed it. And then 30 minutes later, they decided that, you know, maybe they should go out with a splash. The more infidels, I guess, they kill, the happier Allah will be with them. The more virgins they'll get in paradise. That is, if you can trust the wannabe God of Islam. And so they went to MIT, which is in Cambridge, and they were not spotted by a police officer. They just went up to a campus security officer, and while he sat in his police cruiser, they shot him multiple times, killing him. Then a short time later, they decided why not to add another crime to the already growing list. They went up and they carjacked a Mercedes SUV, taking its driver. That would also be kidnapping. So this is now grand theft and kidnapping. And they began to drive the car. They drove it to another 7-Eleven where the victim of the carjack at gunpoint with the two males was driven around for about a half an hour. According to the kidnapped victim, they admitted that they were the Boston Marathon bombers. We don't yet have access to his testimony. I suspect, by the way, that just like the individual, the gunner of Virginia Tech, when it learned that that his motivations were also Islam, when the story came out about Ishmael's axe being his swan song, Ishmael's axe is a reference to the Islamic hadith and to the Quran, Ishmael is given unique status in Islam, that they did not release any of that information, just like contacts with Terry Nichols, with Abu Shayef and Islamic terrorists in the Philippines immediately prior to the Oklahoma City bombing is conveniently omitted from the record. So we probably won't hear much of what they said relative to Islam. It will be covered up. The police immediately began to search for the vehicle, and they pursued them in a high-speed chase. There is rumors that they had explosive devices with them, and that as they drove towards the shooters, there was constant gunfire with police officers. There was a police officer that has been severely wounded. He is now at the hospital, there were allegedly explosive devices tossed out along the way. We do not know how the older brother, Tamerlan, was ultimately died, other than it is divine justice in a way. He was still alive when he was taken by ambulance to Beth Israel Hospital. Here is a Muslim who has been trained all of his life to believe that Jews are the enemy of Allah, and he died in Beth Israel Hospital. I'm sure that was not lost on him. There were lots of explosions in the last minutes of this chase, according to the witnesses. The car, this is a... one of the witnesses said the car went right through the cops. It broke out through the west and then continued. The two men left a few backpacks right by the car. There was a bomb robot out there now. And so the chase goes on. What I'm going to do now, hopefully with IQ Al-Rasuli in the next hour, we're going to do what the media will not do. We're going to share with you what it is about Islam that causes Muslims to be mass murderers, to act this way, so that those listening to the program will understand what causes Muslims to kill, and that isn't becoming radicalized in Islam that causes a Muslim to be murderous. It is becoming a fundamentalist. It is paying attention to what the Quran and the Hadith say. Tabari 969. Killing disbelievers is a small matter to us. Tabari 8. The battle cry of the companions of the Messenger of Allah that night was, kill, kill, kill.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that...